December 10th, 2013. So a little over 3 years ago.
Jesus.
So we've done it. But
women-led action movies.
Okay, I don't have my number five on there. I don't have my number four on there. I only have one movie as crossover.
Really?
Yep. Also rants. Two of my also rants are now in my top five.
I'm going to be up front, too. What's up? This is Movies on Up. Same make, same model, new mission. I'm Dave, joined by my same co-host, Mr. Ryan.
With the same mission as always, Mr. Dave.
We are Movies on Up. Our tagline for this week, same make, same model, new mission. If you know what movie that is from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter, @moviesonup. If you're right and we pick you, you will win a glorious Movies on Up prize package. I believe this is the first in Movies on Up history. I know we've done lists in the past where it's like, maybe we've done these before. The latest Resident Evil comes out this week.
Right.
The latest Underworld came out a couple weeks ago. So January, we've talked about it last couple weeks. Big, big month for female-led action movies. So we thought, hey, let's do our favorite female-led action movies. And we both thought, haven't we done this before?
This sounds vaguely familiar.
As we're doing the list, it seemed like, this sounds familiar. But we didn't decide to research it until right before recording it.
Which is always a good time.
And we did. December 10th of 2013.
Yes.
We did an episode on favorite female-led action movies. So if you have a memory that you remember us talking about movies from 3 years ago, you might hear a lot of the same things.
I can guarantee now, no crossover. This list, that list, from my side, completely different.
I cannot.
Because I've just switched my number four.
I cannot find my list.
So they may be.
There might be crossover.
It's possible.
Two of the movies have come out since then.
Maybe some of the movies that were on your list then are on my list now.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe. If you just started and you just listened to our 2013 year.
And you started there.
We apologize. This may sound familiar, but we're going to dig right into it. One of my genres that always comes up in Netflix is movies with a strong female lead, because a lot of what I watch has strong female leads, and it's not intentional. It's just that's what I'm drawn to, and I like a lot of those movies. Two of my favorite movies from last year were led by females of the
Indeed.
Action variety. So let's kick it off with Ryan, your number five favorite this time around female-led action movie.
Was promoted from also ran last time to my number five. It is Steven Soderbergh's Haywire from 2011, starring Gina Carano, Obi-Wan himself, and Magneto, Ewan McGregor, and Michael Fassbender. This is a movie that could probably be a lot higher on the list. It has an amazing cast with McGregor, with Fassbender, Michael Douglas, but this movie rests firmly on the hands and the feet of former Strike Force women's champ, Gina Carano, who's also in Deadpool from last year, so she's still kicking people's asses. She's not much of an actor, so much so that her relatively little dialogue in this had to be overdubbed a la Obi-Wan's Phantom Menace adversary, Darth Maul. Ray Park was overdubbed in that. But whereas Ray Park was a beast with that double-bladed lightsaber, and that part was really what stood out, the same thing goes for Carano and Haywire. Her fight scenes are phenomenal. Athletically, she's more than capable of allowing Soderbergh to really focus on the choreography of the fight to carry the scenes rather than having to go all Paul Greengrassy and shake the camera to kind of hide some of those shortcomings. Mallory Caine's got a little bit of Jason Bourne in her, but I might bet on her in a fight between those two. And if you doubt that, just ask Channing Tatum, who gets rung up by the former Gladiator in Haywire.
Oh, yeah. She was, what was it? Crush? Was
yes.
that her name on Gladiator?
Yeah.
My number five may have been on my list last time. It was at least an also-ran. It's from 2009, directed by Chris Nahan, starring Ji-Hun Jun and Allison Miller and Liam Cunningham, who is probably on Game of Thrones. Blood, the Last Vampire. It's a vampire killer in a schoolgirl outfit undercover in a high school. Pretty much it. It's a ridiculous action movie. There's a scene where she takes out probably 200 vampires, and it's awesome. It's dumb. It's a dumb action movie, but there's enough there. It feels like a video game adaptation. It really does. But it's so fun. And Blood is an awesome anime series. I don't watch a lot of anime now, but Blood Plus is the anime version of this character, and it's awesome. It's a decent adaptation if you're just looking for an hour and a half to kill where you just want to turn your brain off and just watch a girl with a sword fight vampires. It's awesome.
My number four is a movie that probably could have been. I left it off my list last time because I felt like you probably were going to put it on your list. And if you didn't do it then, you may have done it now. And if you didn't do it now, then we would, I guess, be remiss if we didn't talk about a movie that we both like an awful lot. It is from 2011. It's Joe Wright's Hannah, starring Saoirse Ronan, Eric Bana, Cate Blanchett. I don't think that Ronan has become this female action hero. She's become a hell of an actress, and she was really, really good in Hannah. The movie does have, there is action to it. There is a fair amount of chasing as the climax approaches. What I think is the best about Hannah is her relationship with Eric Bana. He is very much trying to mold her into this young assassin. They're living together out in the wilderness. It's the school of hard knocks for her. And to watch her relationship with her father, I think is really, really good. This is very early in the run for her. It was pretty obvious that the girl had some talent, but it was nice to see her go in a little bit different of a direction. There's still quite a bit of drama to it, but she shows that, you know, she can do some other things, and she's been doing a lot of other things since then, kind of heavy stuff. But it could have been sort of a dumb throwaway action movie, but I think the cast involved wouldn't let it.
It's also my number four. It was probably on my list last time because I love this movie. And sure, you mentioned the cast. I think Joe Wright involved keeps it from being a dumb throwaway action movie. It's very cool. It's not your action movie that's bang bang all the time. Like, it is paced, but when it is time for action, it's cranked up. And she's fantastic. And Lovely Bones was in 2009, which kind of broke her out. This was one of her big starring roles after that. Then she went Violet and Daisy, which was kind of a...
on my list last time.
Yeah, and then Byzantium, where she was a vampire. And then The Host, which was her teen young adult novel adaptation. And then since then, she's transitioned into this heavier, more dramatic stuff. But she was really, really good in this. The direction, I think, was great. He makes beautiful films. Like, it looked great. Some of those shots in the snow and with the colors. Very, very cool movie.
I'm glad that I'm able to go right before you, because I feel like it's like a draft. And now I get the first pick in this round, and I feel like I could always be stealing yours.
And I'm always the one that's like, with the first pick, the Cleveland Cavs select LeBron James. And the Detroit Pistons are like, yeah, we
Darko.
Want LeBron too. We want we're going to take LeBron as well.
Yeah, we'll take him on your off nights. My number three is from 2010, another guy that makes some really, really great movies. That's Matthew Vaughn and Kick-Ass from 2010, starring Aaron Taylor Johnson, Nick Cage, Chloe Grace Moretz. I realize that Moretz does not play the titular character in this, but I defy anyone who's seen Kick-Ass to try and argue that Hit Girl does not steal the show in this movie. Sure, some of that is down to her frank use of profanity, which is equally parts awesome and disturbing coming from little Chloe Grace. Where she really shines in this movie is her action sequences. She's far and away the most capable of ruining your day of all the masked heroes in this movie. Not only is she a girl completely capable of brutally killing dozens and dozens of men, often at the same time, she's also a child, which kind of makes it a double whammy. The fight scenes, the choreography in this was great between her, Big Daddy, and Kick-Ass. They all sort of had their own style. A lot of Kick-Ass's style was to get his ass kicked. But just how cool they made this character. A lot of times you're watching like a team action movie, Four Ninja Turtles, or maybe there's a band of Fellowship of the Ring, which is the cool one, and who gets to do all the cool stuff. In this movie, it was Hit-Girl. She got to do all the cool stuff, and the scene she has with Nick Cage after doing a bunch of cool stuff is a really, really great moment in that movie.
And even the sequel. Like, she ups it a little bit in the sequel and still kicks a lot of ass.
Even more ass.
My number three came out in 2013. I don't think it made my list at the time. It is The Heat, directed by Paul Feig, written by Katie Dippold, starring Sandra Bullock, Melissa McCarthy. It's your standard buddy cop movie, but it's not standard because you don't see a lot of...
And it's two ladies.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of girl-girl buddy cop movies, but it's your, the one straight-laced, the one doesn't play by the rules. I think at its core, it's a good, competent action movie. There's enough going on to twists and turns. It feels like an 80s buddy movie. Like, it does. It feels like a 48 Hours or Lethal Weapon, Last Boy Scout. It feels like one of those movies. It's really funny. I think Melissa McCarthy's pretty much funny all the time, but Sandra Bullock in this is really, really funny. The nightclub scene is great. All the supporting cast that show up in smaller roles are really, really good. I really like Paul Feig.
Do you have any other Melissa McCarthy movies in your top five?
I do, up at the top.
Okay, good, because that's the one. We'll talk about it. I didn't put it on there, but I'm glad you did, because I love that movie as well. My number two is a movie that might surprise you that I like. It is Gary Ross's The Hunger Games from 2012, starring Jennifer Lawrence, Josh Hutcherson, and Liam Hemsworth. These movies did make some money, quite a bit of it, as a matter of fact. And I will admit that I think the first one is a really, really solid movie. I didn't read the books. I know, I didn't read the books. Brace yourselves for that, folks. But I was really only ever interested in the character as was presented on the screen. What I saw of the first movie, I was certainly hooked. I haven't finished the Twilights or even the Resident Evils for that matter, but I was able to catch all of the Hunger Games movies. And like I said, I don't know or care how Katniss may or may not have been different in the novels. All I know is that in this movie, she was a very strong, if not reluctant, hero. She used her brains more than her bow to survive what seemed to be about a dozen movies worth of a government trying to keep a sister down. Never a damsel in distress in this movie. She always was seemingly the most capable of handling the distress that came her way, certainly more so than her male counterparts. And she honestly reminds me a little bit of Princess Leia. She didn't have time to put up with your shit because, frankly, she was too busy trying to take down an empire. And she did fantastically. So yeah, I don't want to say The Hunger Games is a series, because I don't necessarily think all the movies were great, but I think this one, to start off the franchise, was phenomenal.
I think Catching Fire is...
Which one is that?
The second one.
Do not care for it.
See, I liked it. It's my...
Your least favorite book, your favorite movie.
Yeah, which makes no sense.
It was my least favorite movie.
I thought the fourth one was bad. Did not like the fourth one.
Are there only four?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
There's three, part two I did not like.
Yeah, by that point, I was ready for it to be done. You know, the second one does not make me like the first one any less. I like the first one. I think it's really solid. I will watch it with anyone and then immediately say, let's watch Battle Royale instead. But, you know, whatever. Hunger Games is okay.
My number two, I'd assume, was on that list because I love this movie. I love this director. I love this star. From 2008, it's Doomsday, written and directed by Neil Marshall, starring Rhona Mitra, who is a badass, and I don't know why she doesn't seem to be in more movies kicking ass. It's this futuristic movie. They're trying to stop the end of the world. She's just awesome in this movie. Neil Marshall, this was after The Descent, which was an awesome female-led horror movie, completely female-driven horror movie. He made a female-driven action movie with this. And Rhona Mitra, she was in the third Underworld movie, and then has done some TV stuff.
That was the one that Kate Beckinsale was not in, right?
Yeah, it was the prequel.
Yes.
It was the prequel. Doomsday, I like Bob Hoskins in anything. Like, he's one of those that I've always enjoyed watching. There's some really cool action, but what Neil Marshall does so good is the world-building thing. In The Descent, you were taken down into these caves, and you were immersed in that. In this, it's a little more expansive because he's built this post-apocalyptic world. And then in Centurion, he built that world as well. I love Neil Marshall. He's been busy. He comes and directs like the best episode of Game of Thrones every season. He's supposed to be doing that Vampire on a Boat movie, but last case
with Vigo, yeah.
Last Curse of the Demeter.
Voyage of the
Demeter, yeah. But I like him. He had that run with The Descent, this, and Centurion, where it was like, I love this guy as a director.
And Dog Soldiers before that.
Before that, yeah.
I want to put that in that run there, too, because I love
that movie. I love Neil Marshall and Doomsday. I feel like that movie kind of came and went, and people didn't really pay a lot of attention to it. But, man, do I love that movie.
My number one was, and you can tell early movies on up because we do that thing where, like, we don't put the obvious on there. Although, somehow, my number one last time was Terminator, which seems like it would be a pretty obvious choice. But I think I just didn't want to be way too obvious. So I left this movie off last time. I didn't leave it off this time because I really do like it. And Uma Thurman is a badass in Quentin Tarantino's Kill Bill. We'll just say from 2003, when he made the movie, it was just a 4-hour movie. And I think the studio was like, no, we're not. I don't care if you are Quentin Tarantino. We're not releasing this in 4 hours. So you're just going to have to cut it up, which he did. Joining Thurman, David Carradine, Daryl Hannah, even within the filmography of Quentin Tarantino, we could have picked Death Proof, because that was pretty badass. A group of female heroes taking down Snake Plissken. But if you're going to talk about female heroes in Tarantino specifically, it's awfully hard to leave off The Bride. Of the two movies, I'd say that probably, I don't know, maybe I like number one the best. Although in each of them, there's some really, really badass stuff. Her fight with Vernita Green from the first movie, I think, is just as impressive as the Crazy 88 fight from the second, but for very, very different reasons. The choreography between two actresses, super tight, in the kitchen, having a knife fight while the little girl is trying to get her cereal. And then just the, you know, like you said, from Blood, like slaughtering 200 vampires with a sword. You're going to think of The Bride wiping out 87 of the 88s with a sword as well. And she goes from being wronged in this seemingly ultra-feminine way. She gets gunned down while wearing a wedding dress by a man that she kind of thought as a father. So I don't know, like, if you get daddy issues, being deserted on your wedding, and being shot. Those are probably three pretty serious concerns for ladies. So she just becomes completely fueled by a rage that is seemingly unknown to man. In fairness, she was doing the badass thing before the revenge in a group of badasses, many of whom are women. She was the queen bee. Daryl Hannah, her character, was really badass too. Vernita Green. All the snakes were awesome in this movie. So it's not just one female. They were all kick-ass.
My number one also stars a badass, kick-ass female. From 2015, written and directed by Paul Feig, starring Melissa McCarthy, it is Spy. I love this movie. I love this movie way more than I expected to.
It defies logic how much I like this movie.
Me too. And I love Melissa McCarthy and I love Paul Feig, but there's no reason I should like this movie as much as I like it. Jude Law, Mirena Baccarin, Rose Byrne is great.
Statham.
Statham steals every scene he's in. Peter Serafinowicz, also great. Like, this movie is so fun. I just rewatched it the other day. It's one of those that if it's on, I'm watching it. It doesn't matter when it started.
My favorite on a plane movie.
I love it. If it's on, I'm watching it. It doesn't matter if it just started. If there's only 10 minutes left, I'm turning it on. People that don't watch Melissa McCarthy movies complain that she plays the same character in every movie, which I don't think is the case at all. I think Susan Cooper's a really good character. She's just this really smart agent that also has the kick-ass action.
But you expect her to be the bumbler that's going to bumble her way through this and maybe get bailed out by Statham. But it's the exact opposite.
The scene where Allison Janney is watching the video of her from when she was at Quantico,
yeah.
and she's just kicking ass, and that's so funny. Melissa McCarthy's like, I'm so sorry about this. She's like, sorry, I would have put this on YouTube. like she does the action when she needs to, and it's really funny, and it's a good spy movie. Like, there's a legit spy plot going on, and that's why I like Paul Feig, because I think everything he does is really funny and really good, and also a really good genre film for whatever the genre is. I thought Ghostbusters was, I mean, I loved it. I thought The Heat was a good buddy comedy. You know, this was a good spy movie. I really like Paul Feig, and it's so funny. 50 Cent's cameo in this. Rose Byrne is great.
I've never really clamored for a Paul Feig sequel.
I want
because this movie needs one. And I would be fully comfortable thinking it's going to be just as great.
A Susan Cooper franchise.
Yeah.
And the Ghostbusters too.
You had to take it there, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I love it. And this wasn't out when we did the last episode. So I know my number one was different at least. Some of my also-rans. Alien is the obvious one.
I feel like I left some off, not because I'm trying to be old school movies on it, but I just feel like they're Hall of Fame level.
Alien and T2.
Alien, Terminator. I would say even both of them.
I think she's more of a badass in T2.
She is, but she's still a very strong character in the first one. I think the Star Wars movies now are Hall of Fame level.
I mean,
yes, obviously.
Episode 8 could have fit. Rogue One could have fit.
Sure, and obviously neither of those were out. And you can argue that really the original films were, you know, a triumvirate lead, but certainly Rey out front with the lightsaber defeating Kylo Ren inexplicably. She's clearly the hero in 8, and Jyn Erso was a badass herself in Rogue One. So I think that franchise has now gone into every female character is capable. And even to bring it back to Alien, Prometheus with Naomi Rapace, and then Covenant with Catherine Waterston. Like, yeah, it's Ripley, but it's just a franchise where all the women are just, they're much more capable than the men.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then the androids.
Underworld. Yeah.
The first Underworld, I think, is legit. Like,
I still like that movie a lot.
The first one. I don't need anything that came after it, but that first Underworld movie is a legit movie.
To go back to that franchise, it makes money. There's 5 now. I believe Beckinsale's in 4 of them, and everyone she's been in, I think, has grossed like $50 million.
Yeah.
And the one that she was not in did not perform that well. So that's good on her.
Point of No Return was a Bridget Fonda movie. I know that was on my last one. The Brave one, Jodie Foster, I think was on my last one. This movie, Bitch Slap, I'm sure was on there because I try to mention that movie anytime I can. And then I believe this was released since then. Everly with Salma Hayek, pretty solid action movie. Did you have any also-rans that we haven't got to yet?
No, I feel like some of the ones that might be also-rans now were on my list last time. I mentioned Violet and Daisy. I like that a lot. Gandolfini, I think, is phenomenal in that movie. My also-rans are probably really like the first couple movies on my list, and it's like above Kill Bill is the Hall of Fame level stuff, like Alien, Terminator, Star Wars, that stuff.
That was our
second attempt at.
That was our second attempt. We'll be back next week with something.
Probably another repeat.
Yeah. We're 4 or 5 years into this by now, so yeah, we're going to repeat some. I'm shocked that we made it this far without actually repeating something straight up.
Yeah.
But we will be back next week. And until then,
keep it up.